Wow, glory to his name, right? Amen. We are sons and daughters. That's what we're speaking about here in Galatians. And we can sing that and sing that in great praise to the Lord. You know, Pastor Jacob was sharing with you about this G2H event. And I'd like to pick up the trash from here all the way to Lafayette Road on both sides of the road and show the community that we care about the community. I don't know about you. Did you throw that trash out there?
No.
It's not my trash. But I kind of think that's being Jesus to others. He sure has picked up the trash in my life. It wasn't his trash. And as we invite people in through the drive-thru, we'll have the opportunity to share with them what we're doing in the community. But more importantly, share with them the love of Jesus Christ. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, the other day, my dad was sharing something with me, so I thought I'd share it with you. I think Shannon and I are going to have to move. And I was told that all accidents happen between 25 miles of home. So I need to go find a new home. Here we are in Galatians, and I pray and trust and hope. I truly do every day, preparing and looking forward to worshiping with you on Sunday. I pray that this is having an impact in your life. And we are now in the series. We're deep into it. I'm looking forward to where we're getting ready to come to as we start looking at the Spirit walk. But I'm very excited where we're at today, that I am blessed. Are you blessed in Christ? Yeah. You know, I remember a Sunday 7 years ago, right about where Taylor is sitting, my mom was sitting, slumped over, riddled with cancer. She was sitting there in the congregation, all frail and weak. And I remember sitting behind her right in this area, and I snapped a picture of her. And her grandchildren came up right here on the stage, and they sang this song for her. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You remember that song? And God is good, isn't he? Even when one has cancer and is dying, even when one may have a disease and is dying, is God good?
Amen.
And the song goes on to say something else that we believe and that we should treasure. And I'm loved by you. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Do you know who you are? It's who I am. Do you know fully who you are in Christ? That is so important. Last week we saw that Paul has begun now to remind the Galatians of who they are in Christ and the blessings that they already have, the blessings they already possess through their faith in him as their Lord and Savior. Why? In the context so that they might not even be tempted for even a moment to buy into this false gospel that the Judaizers were teaching, that they somehow lack something before the Lord. That they lack something that could be gained if they would just add works to the gospel. So Paul has told them that they are sons of God. We saw that. And as sons of God, they, as well as we who have come to this beautiful, wonderful, amazing faith in Jesus Christ, are truly blessed. And so last week, we saw that we looked at our freedom that we have in Christ. I am blessed because of my freedom in Christ, and I am blessed because of my family in Christ as a son of God. Wow. God doesn't just save us. He frees us in that salvation. And he brings us into his family and adopts us. And here we are. If you're here today and you have faith in Christ, look around. These are your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. Look around. You will be with one another for all of eternity one day. One day I'm going to be in glory, and I'm going to look out, and I'm going to see all of you. I'm going to say, yeah. And there's the Lord. Well, he's here with us today, my friends. And I hope this past week you've reveled in knowing that you are blessed. So this morning we're going to go to part two of I Am Blessed. And we're going to look at this third blessing that is so important as sons of God. We're going to look at our fortune in Christ. I can tell you right now, I'm jazzed. I feel it. I'm jazzed up. So I don't know where this is going today. I'm just going to let the Spirit lead. And I know this, when we end, we're going to sing, and I hope we sing with some serious joy, right? Yes. With some of this going on. Yes. Start prepping your hearts now. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for Sunday school this morning and the Perch and the Leadership Series, hearing Pastor Paul speak about leaders are in your word. And we got to hear all the benefits, not all of them, but many benefits of being in your word and how you love us and guide us and grow us and how we can grow in intimacy with you. Lord, it's through your very word that we come to know you more and more through your Spirit. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that I am not left out here to the opinions of man or to the opinions of this and that and this and that, wondering if I truly am accepted by you. I have your promises. I have your word. And I thank you for that peace and that comfort. And Lord, may we guard against any area in us where that has become old. I pray today, Lord, that we are excited and just seeing again who we are in you, Jesus Christ, and what you have done for us. So, Lord, today we want to bless you in honoring you. And, Lord, in turn, bless us in our knowledge of you. Let us apply your word, and may we praise your holy name, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So let's just go right into the text and see our fortune in Christ. Go with me to Galatians 3:29. It's important to start again with that ending verse where we were last week, and verses 1 through 7 of chapter 4. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Wow, there we have it. Now, these verses take time to decipher and really understand its full meaning. You say to me, hey, Pastor, I like the idea of a fortune. But for some reason, I don't see the word fortune anywhere in this text, in this passage. Well, I want to tell you this morning, it's there. It's there. Where? Where though? It is there in the little word heir, which Paul uses three times in verse 29, 1, and 7. We will see what that means. And an heir of God has a fortune. So as he continues to stress the blessings of being sons of God through faith in Jesus, we're going to see that. This little word, heir, comes from the word to inherit. To inherit. So the word heir means a person who inherits possessions. We understand that. So now as a son of God, through this faith in Jesus Christ, I hope you know how blessed you are. I hope you know that you have inherited a fortune beyond your wildest imagination. I hope you know that you are an heir with a fortune from God. Oh, wow. You may say, wait a minute. He just said inherited, not will inherit. Did you notice that in the scripture? He said you're an heir. Well, hang with me. I'm going to answer that as we go through. Will you inherit or have you already inherited? We'll come to that in a little bit. But now we become heirs of this fortune through the process of what? Verse 5. Through the process of adoption. Through the process of adoption. And all that Paul says concerning being an heir by our adoption as sons is wrapped up in a phrase that he repeats twice. It's all wrapped up in these two phrases. God sent forth. God sent forth. You see that there in Scripture? Which we could summarize this way. One, God sent forth his son that we might receive adoption as sons. Two, God sent forth the spirit of his son. That's another phrase in the word of God, the Holy Spirit. So God sent forth the spirit of his son that we might believe our adoption as sons. So he sent forth the son and he sent forth the spirit that you might receive and that you might believe. Wow. Did you know that adoption is a term only used by the Apostle Paul? Paul uses this term here to show that in that day, an adopted son was no longer a child, but had all the benefits of an adult son. Here is what he is saying before we go there. I'm going to do something that I've just started to do when we deal with difficult scripture to understand. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this down for you all at one time and then preach on it. How's that? All right. Let's go back and now read the passage again. And if you belong to Christ, back up in 3:26 through 27, sons of God baptized in Christ, clothed with Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, that is spiritual descendants, heirs according to promise. Now I say, as long as there is a child, that is the Jew before Christ under the law as a tutor, back in 3:4. He does not differ at all from a slave, though he is owner of everything. The Jew had God's promises. He owned God's promise that he gave to Abraham. But he is under guardians and managers, somewhat like the tutor of chapter 3, until the date set by the father. So also we Jews, while we Jews were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of this world. That is, during the dispensation of the law before Christ. But when the fullness of the time came, which is God's plan for salvation, God sent forth his son, that is Jesus, born of a woman, virgin birth Mary, not from the seed of sinful man. There is Christ in his humanity, born under the law. Because he will fulfill the law's requirement of perfection. So that he might redeem, which is offer the way, that he might redeem, offer the way of salvation, those who were under the law, the Jew, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Therefore, having the opportunity and choice of becoming saved by faith, adult sons of God, and taking hold of that promise. Now, because you are sons, Galatian believer, Gentile, already saved by faith, adult sons of God, in 3:26 through 29, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you Galatian believers are no longer a slave, and we're going to see no longer a slave to any God, no longer a slave to the future, the gods that they were worshiping. You're no longer a slave to anything, but a son, adopted son of God. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the context of this scripture. Do you like that? So now, I don't have to sit here and go through line by line. You understand who he's speaking about, who he's speaking to, what he meant by the child, and what he means by the adult son. I want you to notice something. Notice the we. Notice the we in verse 3. Paul's a Jew, and all Israel before Christ were what? Held in bondage under the elemental things of this world. Paul uses this word elemental to speak of the whole dispensation under the Mosaic law, with all of its rules, with all of its regulations, with all of its ceremonies, which he calls elemental. The word means to be in a straight row like a child's ABCs. All of that Old Testament era childhood compared to the light, compared to the amazing grace, compared to the glory, the reality, the fullness, the blessings that now they have received as adult sons through Jesus Christ. Those were elemental things. Wow. Through their faith in the long-promised seed that Israel possessed of Abraham, Jesus, who has now come into the world. Wow. Paul's argument, again, is why would you Gentile believers who already have your inheritance in Christ go back to living and joining Judaism like the Jews in the Old Testament when Jesus came to redeem us out of that? Let's look now at those two statements God sent forth. He says, first, God sent forth his son that we might receive the adoption as sons. And verse 4, but when the fullness of time came. Wow. What is he meaning there? This word fullness carries the idea of it's a period of time that is completed and now ended. It could be translated, the completed time finally came, okay? Which is the entrance of Jesus Christ into this world after the beginning of time in the garden when the seed of the woman was promised. Through that time, all the way up to the period of Abraham when the seed of Abraham was promised. Through those 1,400 years of the law with all its sacrifices and with all of its regulations, all of its symbols and all of its types, all of which were shadows pointing to the reality of the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ, all of that was now full. It has now come to an end with the coming of Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time came is an amazing, magnificent statement of the sovereignty of our God. Oh, the sovereignty of God. Wow. Concerning your salvation. When the fullness of time came, the sovereignty of God concerning the salvation of me. Of you. What a statement. You know what I love about this? Don't just gloss over. Spend some time. Perch, you'll know what I mean. Let the Holy Spirit burn that. As you meditate on that, What is that being say? What's that say about your Lord? What's it say about your life? That everything was right on time, right on God's time. The Lord is never too early, and He's never too late. How many of you know that God is always right on time? Can you think of an illustration of that in Scripture? Can you think of one? Can you think of one that would show the timing of God compared to what we think about God's timing? You recall when Lazarus died. Martha thought when Jesus arrived that he was 4 days late. She had wanted him to come on her time to heal Lazarus. And when he got there, he was, in her opinion, late, late, late. But in God's sovereign plan, Jesus was right on time to work a miracle greater than the healing that Martha wanted. He came to work a resurrection to show that He is the author and controller of life, and that He raises the dead, and that He will raise Himself from the dead, and He will one day, if you accept Him through faith, raise you from your spiritual dead. He had a bigger plan, and He was right on time. Had he shown up earlier, he would not have been able to show that. It would have just been another healing. He is always working his plan. It may seem to us at times that things can be out of control. It may seem to you at times that your world is crashing in around you, that there's no coming back from where you are. That he has a plan. That's not so with God. He has a plan today. He has a plan tomorrow. He has a plan for this world. And he has a plan for your life. Amen? Amen. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are his family. You are his heirs. I want to submit to you today that you can trust him in every situation. Amen. But I want you to see something very special. It says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. There is his deity as the pre-existing son of God. Born of a woman, there he emptied himself, and there he is in his humanity. Born under the law, so he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. There is his purpose. Right there you see the Son of God in all his glory, emptying himself as the Son of God in his humanity for his purpose, which is to save that which is lost. Wow. Yeah. Praise God. Lord, you're here right now. Give him a round of applause. It says redeem. Redeem means to buy out of slavery and then release and set free the one who has been bought. So the Lord didn't just purchase you off the block of slavery. He freed you as well. Isn't that beautiful? It says Jesus was born under the law. He is the Lord God, and he kept all the law's requirement perfectly. Then he went to the cross to pay the penalty, your penalty, my penalty, the curse for those of us who have broken the law, which is every last human being, past, present, and future. And he paid the ransom through the amazing, expensive price of his blood. And he redeemed us that we might walk free. That we might walk free. Okay, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Why? Because, say after me, I am redeemed. To redeem me. To purchase me out of slavery. And free me. I am redeemed. Please be seated. That's exciting. We know this and we hear this and we hear this, but that's exciting. If you dipped your little toe into hell, you'd know it's exciting. Ross got out and rode his new motorcycle the other day. And he says, hey, I learned something about the motorcycle. I said, what? When you put your foot down too close to the pipe, you burn yourself. Imagine if we could get and see a little bit of hell. You'd know, I don't want to get anywhere around that pipe. Amen. I'm redeemed. Praise God, I'm redeemed. Wow. We can say, I am who I am. Because the great I am tells me who I am. Amen. Who are you? Who are you? I am who I am because who God tells me I am. Wow. We're going to sing that at the close of the service. So it kind of like this. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. Bam! I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. We got to start knowing who we are in Christ. I am a redeemed son of God, and I am who I am because the word of God tells me who I am. So I'm going to go out here and I'm going to live it, and I'm not going to take on any false doctrine. I don't have to believe in works. I am an adopted son of God. So I'm going to walk like it, talk like it, live like it, and I'm free to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at what else the verse says in our Lord's promise. You know, real quick, isn't that how so many short circuit their joy? Their blessings, because they fail to appropriate and claim their identity in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. But let's look at what else the verse says in our Lord's purpose. That we might receive the adoption as sons. This word adoption means literally to place as a son. Okay. It comes hand in hand with your redemption. Lord, I believe everything. Oh, Lord, forgive me of my sins. You know I'm such a sinner. Oh, Lord, thank you for opening my heart. Thank you for showing me who I am, that I'm dead. I couldn't earn anything. That I'm lost. I'm helpless. But you paid all the price for me. You did everything for me on the cross. You are the Son of God. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. Please, and accept me. I want to make you Lord of my life. Bam! Redeemed. Bam! Adopted. That's how it goes. That's swiftly. So it means to be placed as a son, and it comes hand in hand with your redemption in Jesus Christ. The very moment that you were saved. Isn't that beautiful? You see, this is what I want you to see. Adoption is a legal act of God whereby his redeemed children are accorded adult status in the family as adopted sons. Why? So that we can immediately begin to claim our inheritance and enjoy our spiritual wealth. You inherited it and you can claim it and utilize your inheritance right now because of your legal status as God's son. You don't have to wait to come into your inheritance. You have it. You can tap into it now. Thank you, Lord. death. You see, regeneration is about our life relationship. Adoption is about our legal relationship. Isn't that a beautiful thing? In human life, we must wait for our inheritance until the loved one giving that inheritance is gone. And it's usually we are much older. But in our spiritual life, you may be a newborn child through regeneration in the Lord with much, much growing to do. But you can immediately, as an adult adopted son of God, begin to tap into your inheritance for all that you need to live for Him and in your relationship with Him right now. You don't have to wait. It's yours. Do you love that? I mean, think about it. You can start drawing on the unfathomable riches of Christ, Ephesians 3:8, right now. Such as the riches of His grace, the riches of His mercy, the riches of His kindness, the riches of His wisdom, the riches of His knowledge. Are you tapping into your inheritance, or are you squandering the opportunity? Oh, wow. Wow. Listen here to the Apostle Paul's prayer. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Are you aware of the riches of your inheritance? I mean, are the eyes of your heart closed, or are the eyes of your heart being enlightened day after day in your fellowship with Christ? Are you being enlightened by the Lord? Do you know that you know the riches of your inheritance? And not only know that you have them, but God, He wants you to spend them. He wants you to use them. Tap into the bank. Don't hoard your riches. Do you know? Think of that prayer. Do you know by the heart, the eyes of your heart, the hope of your calling? Do you even know what is the riches of your inheritance? Because you are a saint, meaning made holy, positionally righteous before God, because you're covered with His blood. Boom. Wow. Are you praying that you can begin to fathom these unfathomable riches that are at your disposal in what you have already inherited? Man, you know, is that the only inheritance you get that you have right now? Oh, no. Everybody say, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Paul tells the Romans, talking about salvation, that it is by faith, not by works. He says, for the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. You cannot deplete the resources and the riches of God. They abound for you. We're going to see you get a little bit more as we go on. But how blessed are we that the Lord's abounding riches are available to me. I'm so grateful for that. When you sit there and meditate on that, don't you feel and know how loved you are? How loved you are by Him? You know, my dad once told a story just a few years ago in Sunday school. Those of you who don't come to Sunday school, you're going to hear it for the first time. Those of you who come, you get to hear it again. So I wish you all were hearing it again. Because I love you. And I want you to abound in the Word. But he told a story about a lady named Hetty Green. She died in 1916, leaving over $100 million. Imagine how much $100 million is in 1916. But you know what she usually did for? She ate cold oatmeal to save the cost of heating her water. When her son had a leg injury, she took so long to find free medical treatment that he ended up having his leg amputated. She actually died of a stroke while arguing the merits of skim milk because it was cheaper than whole milk. I don't know about you, but if I have to get into those arguments, I'm probably going to stroke out too. She was rich. She had a fortune at her disposal, yet she lived like a pauper. It seems our biggest problem is that we do not realize our riches, nor do we walk in the light of the resources of our fortune that we have in Christ. I want you to know that every one of you have the ability through the Lord to tap into his riches, to live the life he's called you to have the power and strength that you have in your inner man, to be victorious over sin, to live a life worthy of your calling, to be a testimony in a lost and dark world, to be the light of Christ. I want you to know that he can bring you peace and joy and comfort in every situation, and that in your immediate, daily, moment by moment walk with him, you can grow in the intimacy of your relationship with the Lord. Do you have that? Are you experiencing that? Well, you can. Don't eat oatmeal when you can eat steak, and use a little bit of God's gas and heat up the water. It's okay. You can afford it. Wow. Man. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4 tells us that because of the great mercy of Jesus Christ, because of the great mercy, there is an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Here we go, reserved in heaven for you. You got more coming. You have more coming. You see, well, our adoption right now brings to us immediate spiritual riches that we can tap into right now to be all God's called us to be. There is also a future aspect of our adoption yet to be realized. Can everybody say, glory?
Glory.
Glory. I'm going to glory. You're going to glory. Wait till we get there. I can't tell you all about it. I haven't been there because I can't think it up. But I know it's good. It's awesome. It's mine. It's mine. How blessed we are to tap into that inheritance now. But we cannot even comprehend. You cannot even think up. And some of us have really great imaginations. You can't even think up the rest of it. Our present spiritual riches will be matched and exceeded by material and physical riches and glory. And let me tell you what they're like, which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered even into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, you don't even know. You don't have a clue. Your ear hasn't heard it. Your eye hasn't seen it. Your heart can't conceive it. And God says, oh, I can't wait. He's probably, oh, the day's coming when the fullness of time comes. I'm coming back. Wait, Lord, wait. I can't wait to bring them to my house and show them what I prepared for them. But right now, I have a purpose and a plan for you. And you can tap into all the inheritance you need to accomplish that. Wow. By God's grace, each of us can say, well, I just skipped over a big part. But you know what? I'm just going to keep on rolling. You with me? Yeah. We don't need that. You know, I want you to think about this. After you're done living this world, you're walking on those streets of gold. You're free from all sorrow, free from all sickness. You're free from every trial, free from every trouble, free from sin itself. And you have all eternity to spend with your Savior. You have a fortune, my friends, that the world cannot buy. And I mean with all its treasure. I want you to think about this. By God's grace, each one of you can say, I am a son of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who? What? 2 Peter 1:3. By his divine has granted to me, to us, but to me, everything pertaining to life and godliness. You lack nothing. And don't ever let a Judaizer or any false teacher or any false faith, don't even let Satan make you think in your heart that you are lacking. God has given you and granted you everything pertaining to godliness, everything pertaining to his plan in your life, and you can tap into that inheritance. So beautiful. God sent forth his son that we might receive the adoption as sons. Our last point as we close may be a little enlightening for us today, and I hope you are enlightened, and I hope you are encouraged in this last point. It is very encouraging. It says, God sent forth his son that we might believe our adoption as sons. It says, because you are sons already, you Galatians who received Jesus by faith, God has sent forth the spirit of a son, that is the Holy Spirit, into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. Notice something special. Notice the work of the triune God in your salvation. God the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Don't ever forget that the whole Godhead had a role in your salvation. Amen? Amen. So Paul has shown them not to go back to Judaism, not to place themselves under a tutor. Don't go back to a guardian. Don't go back to a manager as a child, a slave under the law of works-based salvation. But God did something for you, he's saying. God not only didn't send his son to redeem you, he did more for you. He did something to help them understand and to help them believe that faith saves by God's grace, and we are his adopted sons. And he sent something and did something that we might believe it. God, in his great love, he sent his son into the world to redeem us, to pay the price, to adopt us. And then at that regeneration into your heart as that adopted son that you now are, he sent the Holy Spirit of his son into your heart that we might believe it. That you might believe it, that we might be assured that we're truly loved, that we might be reassured and assured that I'm redeemed, that I'm an heir in his family. It says, remember this, through the Spirit, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us, 1 John 4:16. Through him, you have come to know and you believe he loves you. And verse 18, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear. Here in Galatians, the Spirit speaks this into our hearts that we might believe we are the loved Son of God. That we do not need to live by works to earn his love. When you live by works to measure up, it will only incite fear. It will only incite fear. And in believing we are loved sons here in Galatians, the Spirit speaks to us. And when the Spirit speaks to us to assure us that we're loved by God, all fear is gone. That love casts out that fear. Wow. And then what we see here in Galatians is the Spirit speaks Abba Father to us. And in that belief in Romans, we speak it back to God. Do you love that? It's the Lord who spoke Abba Father into your heart. The Spirit in us prompts the assurance to cry out, Abba, Father. You see, Abba is the Aramaic word for the word Father in Greek. It has not been translated, everyone. It's been transliterated. It's been transliterated. Transliterated is, it is written in English just how it sounds. So when you say Abba, you're speaking Aramaic. So it's not translated into Abba, it's transliterated to say it just the way it sounds. Abba, what is it? It's a form used by children in addressing their father like daddy. Wow. It's a term expressing a deep love, a deep closeness, a deep intimacy and trust that has no fear of rejection and the full assurance of the Father's love and acceptance. Think about this. Paul is saying you do not have to earn God's favor by works. That will only incite fear into your life. You were adopted, and I am going to send my spirit into you to cry out into your heart, Abba, Father, so that you know I love you, that you know I died for you, that you know I'll never leave you, you know I'll never forsake you, that you can come to me intimately, dearly, as daddy. You're my son. You're my daughter. A slave would never address their master as Abba, never. You see, Father expresses the intelligent trust that we have in him. And Abba expresses the intimate trust that we have in him. The Holy Spirit within me tells me, and the Holy Spirit within me assures me that I am God's child and that I'm fully accepted by faith in Jesus, and the promise of God to Abraham through what Jesus did will never be taken from me. It will never be taken away, and that I have it, and I have it for eternity, and that I have already inherited as an heir of God. I'm a son. And don't you ever let anyone tell you anything else. Amen. Abba. That's something the law could never do. Law keeping for salvation only brings doubt. We are assured of our status in Christ by the continuing witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, not by the amount of works we do to earn God's favor. Living under works-based salvation always incites fear. Living under law, under works to earn or maintain God's acceptance, approval, and love always has a measure of fear in it. Why? Have I done enough? Have I undone what I've already done? Does he love me the way I am? I failed him today. Does he truly love me? Is he going to go ahead and boot me out of the house? How can he love me? Oh, but thank God we are free of that. You see, the love of God has cast out that fear. The Spirit in me cries out, Abba, Father, so that I know my Father loves me. I'm his son. I am blessed. I am free. I am in the family, and I have a fortune. Amen. Oh, praise God. The Spirit leads us, my friends, to look away from ourselves to him who has redeemed us by sending his son to die for us. Think about that, who adopted us and has established the saving relationship we have in him based on faith alone, not by works, but based on what God has done. Wow. I'm here to tell you, Satan has a game plan for you. He wants you to take your eyes off your Father. You see, when you look at yourself, you will doubt your salvation. You cannot look at yourself for long without doubting your salvation. But when you look at your Redeemer through the Holy Spirit, you will rest in that salvation. How many of you like to rest? in comfort and in security. You see, seeing his grace and love, you will be able to say, I am redeemed. That is who the Spirit tells me I am. You see, the Spirit tells me I am his. So that is the I am telling me who I am. Do you know who you are? I am redeemed. Jesus said this of the church in Smyrna. He goes, I know your tribulation and I know your poverty, but you are rich. You are rich. Whatever our troubles and our trials in this life may be right now, or the ones that are coming, or the ones that are pursuing you, or even if poverty in this world befalls us, let's remember what Jesus told us to remember. You are rich if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are his heirs of a fortune that the world can never have. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Do you love that? You know, Paul here, we're not going to even go here, but in the summary verses of the rest of the chapter, he switches from the plural to the singular here. He says you. He wants each individual, each of us, to know and to say, I am a son of God. He wants each of us to say, I am an heir through God. My Abba Father. That is who I am. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Paul will then conclude in verses 8 through 11 by asking how they could ever consider the bondage of Judaism. How could they ever consider going back to that way of life? Wow. Considering the blessings of their freedom, considering the blessings of their new family, and considering the blessings of their fortune. Wow. Are you guys excited about who you are in Christ? Wow. We're going to look at that more next week. There's more to come. But let's praise the Lord for our freedom. Let's praise the Lord for our family. Let's praise the Lord for our fortune. Amen. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to set my heart and set my will, set my mind with the Holy Spirit and through his power. This week, I am going to focus on him, that I may know more and more of his love, that I may know more and more of these unfathomable riches. And I'm going to look to tell you about it. So, man on the street, beware, because I'm coming. Oh, Lord, grant me opportunity to proclaim to someone who I am by the grace of God. Amen. All right. As we close today, I want to play a song for you. And you're going to get involved in it with me. You're going to get involved in it with me. Don't be caught unmoving. I'm kidding. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. But here are the words to this song. I was lost in shame, could not get past my blame. There's what the law did. Until he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me. There I am, redeemed. Darkness held me down. There you are, imprisoned by the law, we saw. But Jesus pulled me out. That's the result of faith in him, freeing us. I'm no longer bound, which the law chained me. I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. I'm freed from the law. The old has gone. There's new life. I'm now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I live by faith, not by sight. There's faith, not works. There is a new name written down in glory. There's real salvation, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine from the promise. I've met the author of my story. I have his inheritance now. I have him indwelling me. He's with you now. And he's mine. Yes, he is mine, Abba Father. Sin had left me blind. The law showed us our transgressions. But Jesus opened my eyes. Jesus showed us the truth. Now I can see the light. I'm so glad he changed me. Now I'm walking free. There's my freedom in Christ. I've got the victory. There's his power in your life. See, it's all over me. I can't contain it. I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. I'm in the family of Christ. So I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. So everybody, right now, get your hearts of gratitude open. Open up your hearts of gratitude. Oh, Lord, I hear it in me, in my soul. I'm going to praise you. Praise you, Lord. No, you can do better than that, soul. Praise you, Lord. No, you can do better than that, soul. Praise you, Lord. Get your clapping hands on. Oh, yes, they work, they work, they work. Get your dancing shoes on. Boom, shoom. All right. Praise team, where are you at? Come on up here. Let's just have a little fun. I don't want to make you do something you don't want to do, but just at least in your heart, be praising God. Let's sing to him about how blessed we are, okay? All right. By the way, our new sanctuary remodel, I wish I had four or five more of these speakers, but they're going to do for today. Everybody, please stand with me. Let's sing to the Lord. Music. All right, why they're not ready. Who here wants to shout out to me and to everybody? Let's proclaim Christ and let's bless the Lord. Something you're thankful for in Jesus Christ. Anybody? His grace. Huh? His faithfulness. His what? His love. His promises. Mercy.
Salvation.
Salvation. Okay, we're almost there. We're almost there. Are you there? Are you ready? Are you about ready to go? All right, go ahead. Let's go. Let's pray. Let's just have fun.
Of my story.
Jesus, we have met the author of our story, and you're ours because you first made us yours. You are our Abba Father. Lord, we are excited. I thank you for telling us who we are, that we're yours. I thank you for our blessings, that we have your inheritance, that we are your heirs, that we are your children, and we have nothing to worry. We thank you for the Spirit who indwells us, that cries out, Abba Father. Oh, Lord, we love you. Let our life show that. Lord, move in us each and every moment of each and every day. Let us yield to your Spirit. And, Lord, you are the author of our story. And we look forward one day to seeing you in glory. In your precious name, Jesus, we all cry out, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, EC Grace. Thank you.